Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Ago there was no internet. Yeah, had that going for me. And now there is. So good morning on a Friday morning. Mike McNamara in for Friday edition of All Marine Radio. And somebody sent me an email yesterday and said, you know, Mac, you're not normally a doom and gloom person, but wow, you know what? I'm not. I just don't see. I don't see the future without really bad things happening. I wish I could tell you something else, but I don't. What I see is you can surrender to those which would run the country via social media. It's not the things that have made this country a nation of laws, which is what makes it different from a lot of other places on the planet. It's what you feel. It's what you want. And so I don't see any other. I think honestly I do believe that you're going to see some really awful things happen in our country, and they're going to be gunfights. And if the way we do business continues, I see that as unavoidable. And the elements of it are leaders that won't stand up and say things that they should say when law enforcement officers are shot. When cities are burned, just silent. Just silent. Like, that's okay. And Now it's become so commonplace, we don't even notice when they don't say anything. When there isn't this resounding pushback to say, no, that's not the way we do it in this country. And I would say it started with the Antifa stuff on campuses. When they would show up and they would stop people from speaking, they would smash windows, and nothing happened. And again, if somebody can remember, or somebody knows what I'm talking about, there's a thing that was written that said, you know, they came and they did this, and I did nothing. They came and they did this, and I did nothing. And then they came for this person, and I did nothing. And then they came for this group, and I did nothing. And then they came for me, and there was no one to do anything for me. And so I very much see that as this thing will ultimately spend itself. It will ultimately eat itself. But the carnage that will happen because of it, I just don't see who or what stands up against it. It was interesting. I wound up, as I'm trying to get my studio ready, yesterday was a pretty cool day for me. I met a woman from Indiana who I spoke with because somebody very close to her had committed suicide, and she's the one that found the body and all of that. And so somebody she works with has a son at Camp Pendleton who heard about post-traumatic winning. So I spent some time with them, and that was very cool. And if I could just, one thing that continually is impressed on me when I speak to people is that the truth is really powerful. The truth is really powerful. And people that are in a place where they're struggling and they don't know what to do. For them, as I say, it lands with a thud and needs no salesman. As Kanye West says, it lands with a thud and needs no salesman. And they hear it and they know. And for most people aren't talking to them like that. They're saying the things that, you know, they believe they should say, things like time heals all wounds and all that bullshit. And so and so I had a chance to talk with them, and it was just reinforced for me once again. You know, we were talking and I asked her, I said, so what do you struggle with the most? And she said, I can't get that image out of my head. And I said, and you never will. And you need to know that. And that's okay. And you know that, you know, it's everybody wants you to say, oh, it'll be okay. Time heals all wounds. We'll just try not to think about it. All that bullshit. But when you're going through that, right? That's not the way it is. And when somebody just tells you the truth, like, yeah, you're going to see that forever. I just want to say it's just powerful. And I think in a lot of ways it's a relief. And then, you know, you say, hey, look, there's nothing wrong with you. You know? And you're going to get told that, you know, this light therapy or this therapy or that, you know, good luck. I mean, try it. You know, I hope that works for you. But if you look at the History Channel, what you'll find is that those things that traumatize us tend to stay with us forever. And that's just the truth. And there's nothing wrong with you. And that's okay. Figure out a way. Either start reading a book or, you know, and all the different things that people have taught me on this program. So that was part of my day. I talked to people out at the Pacific Air Force. And kind of a funny little story that, you know, I did post-traumatic winning for them virtually. First time I'd ever done it via Zoom. And she said, she was telling me a story that, you know, that the participation levels weren't what they were supposed to be. So people got told, get on there. And she said, and I think they took it out on people relative to their reviews of the content of the course, because some of it's pretty rough. And I said, oh, yeah. And she said, except for you. And I said, yes, post-traumatic winning wins again. And so then in my so now I'm, as I'm getting ready to begin filming in Studio 2, I have to create a 2-foot by 3-foot All Marine Radio logo that I could put up in there, right? Just a, you know, just some kind of poster board with the logo of All Marine Radio, and then another one, poster board of post-traumatic winning, and then a third one, and these are things I don't have, of the 3 goals and 10 commandments of post-traumatic winning. So I was doing the graphics of that. So you got to take the graphics and got to make them bigger, and it, you know, they've got to be dense so that when you blow them up, they don't pixelate, all that kind of shit. So I'm working on that, and I've got the TV on in the background, and I see a couple things, you know, because I'm working in the evening. I see just how the Attorney General of Kentucky is just being annihilated because he's not black. He's a sellout. And I watched it and I thought, holy shit, man. Is that where we are as a nation? That there's one version of being black? I thought the whole thing about being treated as an equal and as an individual is that you would be what you would be. And that's what it is to be a free human being, no matter what color you are. But I watched it, and I was like, holy shit, man. And so then I saw the there was pictures that were bombing around and during the Louisville thing. And one was of a U-Haul vehicle. And they've traced that vehicle to the person who rented it. She's an activist under the employ of a website. They fill that thing with signs, with baseball bats, with shields. And then people evidently knew where it was going to be somehow. Well, the people that are the board members of that are all white, liberal, Hollywood types and New York City types. And it got me to thinking, like, so where is the FBI in all of this? Don't they have a role in, like, interstate, domestic, I don't know what the word is, right? Where the hell is the FBI in all this? Why does this continue to happen? Why aren't the people that run this, why aren't they being, you know, arrested? And these aren't protests, what's going on. These are people that go into cities to burn them, to loot them. And where the hell is the FBI? So I was watching that, and you know, and it started with, you know, the Attorney General of Kentucky just getting, you know, who I have to tell you, I thought, man, I was completely impressed by that guy. Because at the end of the day, we're, as a country, are going to have to choose whether what runs this country, the laws of this country, juries, evidence, or social media, and the way somebody wants it to be. And so, so I'm not. I'm an optimistic person, except when it comes to this stuff. What I see is I see leaders. I guess conclusion I can reach is they want this to happen. And I look at the Speaker of the House. She never says anything about violence, ever. And my conclusion is that Nancy Pelosi believes that all this is Donald Trump's fault. And so he can wear it. So she's not saying shit. And she's not doing that for political reasons. Because at the end of the day, it's really not about being a leader. It's about being a politician first. And that is about power. So what's most important to the nation is that the Democrats control the White House. That's what's most important. It's not being a leader on a day-to-day basis in this country. It is, you know. And so when you have leaders that don't say shit when this is going on, and it has to be leaders from both sides of the aisle that do it. But again, I say leader and they're politicians, so I know that doesn't translate. So anyway, I had a pretty good day yesterday, and I even took a look at the commandments. And I was wordsmithing them last night, so I will update. Them, and it's just kind of some happy to glad stuff. Nothing significant. Hopefully in the not too distant future, as the travel restrictions get lifted, I'll get around the Pacific. Yeah, I'm fired up about that. Get back to the East Coast, fired up about that, and launch the YouTube channel, finish the book. So I've got work to do. So on this Friday, I thought I would share that with you, that I'm not a pessimistic person, but you know, I don't piss down anybody's back and tell them it's raining. I look at the things and I try to see a way through. Well, what's the path through all of this? And I just don't see it. The other kind of interesting, the thing that gives me hope though, is, is both Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal are being lumped in, are pushing back on lumping in Breonna Taylor with George Floyd. And so to me, and Shaquille O'Neal, I was his dad a cop? Quote, Charles Barkley says defunding the police is a ridiculous idea. Who are black people supposed to call Ghostbusters? And so you see Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal now being roundly criticized, right? You know, being roundly criticized for pushing back on this narrative. And this is from the New York Post. I'm sorry, this is from USA Today. I don't normally quote them. Part of what is made inside the NBA on TNT a top-tier sports show is the panelists' lack of fear to discuss topics that go beyond the 94 feet of a basketball court. In August, when NBA players paused the playoffs to protest the shooting of Jacob Blake by police in Kenosha, Wisconsin, Kenny Smith walked off the set in solidarity. On Thursday, the conversation revolved around the previous day's decision by a Kentucky grand jury not to file murder or manslaughter charges against Louisville police in the death of Breonna Taylor, who police shot while executing a no-knock warrant. NBA Hall of Famers Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal said that while tragic, Taylor's death should not be grouped with the deaths of George Floyd, who died after Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin knelt on his neck for more than 8 minutes. Ahmaud Arbery, who was fatally shot by two men in a racially charged incident. Quote, it's bad a young lady lost her life, but we have to take into account that her boyfriend did shoot at the cops and shot a cop. So like I said, even though I'm really sad she lost her life, I don't think it's something we can put in the same situation as George Floyd or Ahmed Arbery. Shaquille O'Neal, a deputized sheriff in both Georgia and Florida, also felt Taylor's death could be distinguished by the presence of a warrant. So that was Charles Barkley who said that. Quote, I have to agree with Charles. This one is sort of lumped in, O'Neal said. You have to get a warrant signed, and some states do allow no-knock warrants. And everyone was asking for murder charges. When you talk about murder, you have to show intent. A homicide occurred, and we're sorry a homicide occurred. When you have a warrant signed by a judge, you're doing your job, and I would imagine that you would fire back. Later, Barkley criticized the defund the police movement, which he characterized as the eradication of police forces, while its main purpose is for increased funding of social programs. Quote, I hear these fools on TV talking about defund the police and things like that. We need police reform, prison reform. But you know who's not going to defund the cops? White neighborhoods and rich neighborhoods. So that notion they keep saying, I'm like, who are the black people supposed to call? Ghostbusters? And you can imagine, right? You can imagine the blowback those guys get. But let me just tell you, if people like that won't speak the truth, and all they're saying is the truth, but as you know, you've heard me talk about on this program, you know, in the world of athletics, when LeBron James, when LeBron James talks about race and he says things that aren't true, he doesn't get one iota of pushback from the media that covers him. Not one. And so what he says is true, it's not. And I think it's really important that, I mean, if only the, you know, the Speaker of the House, the Senate Minority Leader, the Senate Majority Leader, right, the minority leader in the House, only if they had the moral courage that Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley have to stand up in the midst of this tsunami, you know, blowback, you know, to stand up and say, no, this is the truth. And we have to be real. You know, Charles Barkley, you know, who are black people going to call once the cops are defunded? Ghostbusters? Stupid. So, yeah, I don't mean to be, you know, so doom and gloom, but to me, it's pretty apparent that there is a movement in this country to run it by the sentiments expressed on social media, and we're looking for this kind of utopian thing that lives in the fantasy land of social media, but that's not the way the world functions. Right. What makes the United States the way it is, why people want to come, is that there are laws and those laws get enforced. Is it perfect? No. But when you go around the rest of the world, not like that. Around the rest of the world, it's more like what you see on social media. It's this, whoever's in charge, whatever they say, it is that way. And there is no statue of justice with a blindfold on. So anyway, Greg Lotus is going to join me today. We'll talk to Greg about, I don't know, about life. See what he's got going on up in North Dakota. But if you've never heard him, Greg, a retired NFL football player, played for a few seasons, hurt his knee during the operation, infection set in. They told him there was nothing wrong with him. He ultimately winds up walking with the cane for the rest of his life. He's a friend of mine who I met after that. And he's a great guy, smart guy, funny guy, and loves food. So he'll join me here in the second hour. So, but, you know, I look for leaders. I look for leaders. And I happen to watch, I saw... I had, you know, the monitor on in my office, and Tucker Carlson, who came on, and I haven't watched him probably since June, when I stopped watching most all of that because it's just too depressing. So anyway, the monitor was on, and that's where I saw the piece about the woman who paid for the U-Haul trailer with all that shit, you know, to take downtown and to destroy Louisville, and the people that supported that. And then a woman by the name of Candace Owen came on, and she's another black person. She's conservative, and she just gets annihilated. And she is smart, and, you know, she came on and she said, you know, by definition, telling people that because you're this skin color, you must believe this and say this, that is racist. And nobody ever calls that shit out, except she didn't say shit. And so you look for leaders. Who's going to stand up in the room, and where are the adults? I mean, I talk about that when, you know, you're in Iraq and Afghanistan and you're in meetings and you're looking to see who are the adults in here? Who says the smart things? Who's not afraid when somebody even of senior rank is standing up there and they're just bloviating bullshit to put their hand up and say, "Hey, sir, I have a question. I might be the only one in here that thinks this, but my experience in RAO is this, and it's not what you're saying. And I don't know if that's just me. I don't know if anybody else has that experience." And it opens the door, and then you see the grown-ups say, "Hey, sir, my experience is that experience." And all of a sudden the meeting turns. It's like, all right, those guys are leaders. In a room full of lemmings that aren't going to say shit if somebody who outranks them expresses another opinion, you know, the people that put their hand up and say, "Hey, sir, at the peril of my own career, I've got an observation for you." And what's interesting is guys like Mattis Kelly Dunford would seize on those guys. "What's your name? Major? Captain? Hang around after this. I want to talk to you." Leader. And so in a nation of lemmings who play this political game, you know, sometimes you see leaders who aren't afraid to tell the truth. And our nation is really, really hurting for it. Really hurting for it. And if we don't get those people to stand up and don't say, get those people to say, "We've got to have an adult conversation about all this stuff," I don't see how it ends in any other way but really bad violence. And not just one event like that, but multiple events. Because it's going to take multiple events to get the nation to a point. And they're going to have to be horrible. And they're going to have to horrify the nation to get to shame leaders into behaving like leaders. And I ask, why haven't we had a roundtable on this shit that's put in front of the American people that shows them definitively these are the numbers relative to police shootings of whites, of blacks, of Hispanics, of Asians? These are the numbers. This is the FBI database. Why haven't we had that? Why hasn't that been put on TV? Why haven't the American people? This is just a fact. You can scream, and the thing that every one of them has in common is resisting the police. So when the police show up, the message here is we know, you know, we're working with the police, but that's a tough job. You roll into bad parts of cities. You deal with crazy people. You deal with gang people. You deal with people on drugs, right? And you're trying to get home and do your job and get home to your family. Not an easy job. We haven't even had that conversation, if you can believe that. You know, the president's task force on, you know, what, I don't know, give it a name. But, yeah. So I try not to be negative. I try to be honest. And if you don't get more people that will stand up and speak the truth, then I don't know where this goes, except a choice between, you know, having the nation run by social media and just chucking the laws because, yeah, you know, fuck it. we really like those people. So, if, you know, they could burn down the city. They could shoot cops. You know, it was for our cause, so it's all good. That's how third world countries run. That's how the Arab world runs. And I don't think the United States, you know, wants to go near that. But let me tell you, what you see in Portland, what you see in Seattle, the fact that that's been allowed to go on, the fact that it goes on a nightly basis in some of those cities, that's wrong. And leaders all across this country ought to condemn that shit. You have every right, and I think the Attorney General of Kentucky said it yesterday. You have every right to peaceably assemble and to express your point of view. That is quintessentially American. You do not have the right to burn down a city, to destroy other people's hard work, to destroy what they've spent their whole life, you know, trying to create. You don't have a right to do that. And if you do that, then we will put an end to it. But I don't know. I don't know. So don't mean to be Dolly Downer. So on this Friday, Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. And over the course of the weekend, say a prayer for your country, because I think that politicians in our country are continue to set new lows in terms of performance. And in my opinion, at the head of the class is Nancy Pelosi. Her hatred for Donald Trump has affected her ability as a leader to do what's right. And the nation is paying an incredible price for that arrogance. And Donald Trump, I would tell you, is representative of the same ilk as Nancy Pelosi. His bedside manner sucks. He alienates people. And the two of them are two peas in a pod. They're just on different sides of the fence. And the nation needs better leaders. So, with that said, this is Whitney Houston. And this is dedicated to Shaquille O'Neal, to Charles Barkley, and to public people to take a stand for the truth no matter what. And those guys are taking a ton of shit from people all across this country, being called sellouts, being called Uncle Toms, traitors to their race, blah, 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 blah. It's Oh, it's Libby's birthday today. Facebook just told me that. Well, first, happy birthday to Libby. Yeah, I got an email from somebody that lives in North Carolina, a retired first sergeant, the first sergeant. FYI, the Assistant Secretary of the Navy was at Paris Island yesterday to gauge the feasibility of pregnant women going through boot camp. Yeah, let that one sink in. What? Oh, my God. Oh, the pregnant women. Just because I'm pregnant doesn't mean I should be able to go through. I'm not really sure what to say right now. What the hell? You're right. Anybody can go through. Come on, everybody. We're all going to be Marines. Yay! It's going to be so much fun. Honestly, don't start hating on me. I don't make this shit up, man. Is that true? Yeah. First sergeant in North Carolina. I just sent that out to some of my friends. And I'm not gonna read their responses. They think it's a joke. That's a joke. This cannot be true. Yeah. Yeah, so Libby's birthday. But this is dedicated to people like, you know, Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, they don't have to do that. And their quote-unquote brands suffer for that. I mean, they're both, you know, they have endorsement contracts. And you know, Shaquille O'Neal is the face of Papa John's, right? He bought an ownership stake in that, a big one. And he's reinventing their marketing and whatnot. So these things, it's not like they don't have consequences. But it's only when people from all colors stand up and say, "Hey, look, we got to do the right thing here." And them saying that you can't lump Breonna Taylor in with George Floyd, I mean, that's not a popular point of view, especially in Black America. So this is dedicated to people that stand up and aren't afraid to be leaders. And we certainly need more of them in this country. We need them to lead an effort to bridge the gap between our police forces and our communities. And what we really need to get to is, look, when the cops show up, just cooperate. Just cooperate with the police. No matter what, just cooperate with them. Because if you fight police officers, you know, that doesn't end well a lot of time. So this is dedicated to leaders in Pacific, specifically to Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley, who are doing unpopular things. But I think the rest of America looks and says, well, based on what we saw out of the evidence that was presented, they didn't serve the no-knock warrant. They knocked. They announced themselves. They then entered the apartment. They were shot at. One of the police officers shot in the thigh, and they returned fire, and she was killed. They have the right of self-defense, period. That's simply the truth. And it's a tragedy. How do all those rounds get fired, and she get hit, and the guy who shot it doesn't get hit? Was he behind her? Like, what the hell? So anyway, the Attorney General did not answer that question when asked. So this is dedicated to those guys and to people that should stand up and lead. Hopefully someday they can do it.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather. Currently in Quantico, it is cloudy in 64. Down the coast of Camp Lejeune, raining in 74. 29 Palms, sunny in 78. Yikes, it's cold. Camp Pendleton, partly sunny and 63. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy 73. Okinawa, dark cloudy 77. And as we go down under, dark cloudy in 81 in Darwin on the northern coast of the continent of Australia. And then further to the west in Oslo, Norway, it is partly sunny and 54. At the home of Almarin Radio, it is cloudy and 66. Looking for a high today of 78, 76 tomorrow. What? Sunday 75, Monday 83, Tuesday 88. I don't want anything above like 80 anymore. Done with that. That is look at your weather. Now a little shithole weather. Good morning, Matt. Clear skies with west winds of 10 for Churchbridge today. Current temperature is 64 degrees Fahrenheit. Afternoon high of 72. A Saskatchewan MLA is a member of the Legislative Assembly. Ah. Bev is actually doing the Lord's work. Yeah. She had a conversation about post-traumatic winning with a member of the Saskatchewan MLA. That would mean a elected congressman in their state assembly. Then she sends me a picture of the Saskatchewan Legislative Building. Oh, it's beautiful. Looks like the Palace of Versailles. It's in the capital city of Saskatchewan, which is Regina, in case you don't know that. Under construction from 1909 to May of 1912 on the Barren Prairie. Population just over 31,000. In June of 1912, destroyed much of the town and the residential area. Thankfully, this building was spared. It's a beautiful building. Yeah. The gardens are absolutely gorgeous. Breathtaking. And then here's another panoramic shot. From the air, and you see the, right on a river. Don't you know? Which most cities tend to be on, because people needed a source of water. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check some news headlines. Stop sending me text messages about pregnant women going to recruit training. Why can't they? Come on. Why is everybody so uptight about stuff like this? Free your mind. Of course they can. Anybody should be able to do it. Okay? Well, Mac, I mean, how about things pragmatic? What happens if the level of physical activity induces a miscarriage or something like that? Then what? Okay, we're not going to talk about stuff like that, all right? We're not going to talk about that. If utopian social media warriors want pregnant women to go through recruit training, the truth doesn't matter. All that matters is what they want, okay? So get used to that world, because that's where you're headed. Oh, God help us. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back. And that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Kind of an interesting commercial, right? And that is, we're asking people to help you when you won't. We're asking people to make calls for you and not be put off by your obstinance of getting help about talking about it. It's kind of an interesting little commercial.
Stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, the confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis. But sometimes reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I was a sailor, I was lost at sea. It was under the waves before love rescued me. I was a fighter, I could turn on the frame.
you can't get away from it. Top story in Stars and Stripes. Army is rolling out a new fitness test. Will it hold back women? An initiative to create a stronger, fitter fighting force has yielded a dramatic gender gap, raising questions about whether the service unintentionally might compound barriers for women trying to move up the ranks. So that's what, you know, we've talked about this, right? Like, take all the identifying stuff off. Well, what happens if the wrong things happen? Recent Army figures show that 54% of female soldiers failed the new Army combat fitness test. Failed it. Which is being rolled out on a provisional basis compared with 7% of men during the second quarter of 2020. Oops. That ain't good. I wonder how the that reflects a significant improvement over last year when leaked data showed that more than 80% of a smaller cohort of female test takers failed the six-event exam. But some women fear they won't be able to pass even with additional training or will continue to get lower scores than men, potentially affecting their career prospects in an institution already struggling to shed historic gender and racial disparities. Now, we're talking about differences between men and women, okay? And on social media, we're going to fairy dust that shit away. There's no difference. What are you talking about? There's no physical difference between men and women. You know, you're so old-fashioned and so bigoted in the way you look at the world. Okay. Could you explain to me why 80% of women in this blind cohort failed. And then, you know, and now the number's at 54% as opposed to 7%. Man, could you footnote that for me, please? I know I'm with you. There's no difference between the genders. Okay, but we need to somehow or other explain this so we can fix it. The test will become the service's official fitness test next month, has prompted a broader debate over whether the service's focus on fitness and strength will elevate physical prowess over other qualities such as effective and ethical leadership. You got to be shitting me, man. Now we're going to say, you know what? Why are we even testing for physical fitness? It's such a ridiculous measure of anything. Unbelievable. Army officials say the new age and gender blind fitness test, the first of its kind in the U.S. military, was developed to reduce injuries and prepare soldiers better for the demands of fighting, expressing confidence that training will help female troops eventually meet the new standards. Officials also say the test might be modified before results are incorporated into a soldier's evaluation, likely in 2022, when it could begin to affect promotions and future assignment. Combat is age and gender neutral, said Major General Lonnie Hibbert, commanding general of the Army Center for Initial Military Training, which designed the new test. And so regardless of your gender, or more importantly, your profession, we have to ensure that everybody is prepared for combat. Oh, Lonnie, let me tell you this. You better be willing to come off that standard, because if you stick to that, your ass is going to get fired. You're never going to see your third star. The performance imbalance is rooted primarily in one of the test's six events, the leg tuck, which requires troops to hang from a pull-up bar with their arms extended, I'm doing it right now, before lifting themselves up using abdominal and arm muscles. Soldiers must pass all six events, which includes carrying kettlebells, dragging sleds across a field, throwing a 10-pound ball backwards over their heads, performing hand-release push-ups, and completing a 2-mile run. The Army's previous test required troops to only do sit-ups, push-ups, and a 2-mile run, and was adjusted for age and gender. one female soldier who, like others, spoke on the condition of anonymity for fear of damaging her career, said she attained high scores on the old test, but despite years of exercising to enhance her upper body strength, including during periods of intense workouts on overseas deployment, she remains unable to do even a single pull-up or leg tuck. I can't even start to flex upward, she said. The soldier who had a baby last year said she worries the increased emphasis on muscular strength eventually will lead her and other women to leave the military earlier than planned. You've heard that here on this program before. So, the Army. Next story. Three Marine families at Camp Lejeune sue housing firms over moldy, pest-filled homes. Here, it's about time. This bullshit's gone on too long, right? And they do, these companies do what they always do. And I don't know if, I've been told that these companies are losing money. Then somebody's got to investigate this, but this has to stop. And you should see the pictures. Yeah, go on the Stars and Stripes website. If you're not on that on a regular basis, they give you 10 free articles a month. And look at this article. It's on the front page. And look at the pictures. Black mold, right? Somebody pulled up the tile and you could see the black mold. It's disgusting. And this is how people are living. Air Force Lab wants to find out how to get humans to trust robots. And it shows a sentry walking with a robotic dog. Cough suppressants are still being abused on Okinawa. Tylenol, things like that. Yep. There's a thing called dextromethamphetamine intoxication. You get it in Tylenol? Yeah. Next story. General Milley, military services working to remove all identifying information from promotion processes. Now, here's another one. Right? If you do that, like the Army fitness test was designed with all these smart people, all right, with all these smart people, what happens if you don't get the right, if you lose your ability to manage it? Quote, we are the world's biggest meritocracy. We take pride in that, Milley said during a virtual town hall at the Pentagon alongside Defense Secretary Mark Esper. Certainly, we have areas to improve in, but on balance, we recognize that knowledge, skills, attributes, and the content of your character are what should advance you in the system, not any particular personal identity or characteristic. You know, hear. But let me tell you, if they go completely blind, and if hypothetically those numbers don't, it's like the physical fitness test you just heard about. That's not going the right way. So what are we going to do? We're going to de-emphasize it. We're going to change the events so that women can score higher. So we can perpetuate the myth that, you know, everybody's physically created equal. Yeah. Why do you need to pass all those dumb tests to get in special forces? Why? Why does Delta Force get to choose who they want? Why should it be open to everybody? And so the standard goes and it goes and it goes and it goes. So anyway, like I said, you can't get away from it. Wall Street Journal top stories, Ruth Bader Ginsburg lies in state in the U.S. Capitol. She became the first woman and the first Jewish person to ever lie in state. An invitation-only ceremony is intended to remember both her and her decades on the bench, and her commitment to expanding women's rights. So, yeah, a little bit of history being made at the Capitol today. Terrorist attack in Paris, where two people were stabbed with a knife, exactly, near the Charlie Hebdo office. You remember the shooting that went on, what, a couple years ago? So, that in the news. And let's see, U.S. Naval Institute news. Chinese Navy craft's unmanned Sea Hunter knockoff. Wow, what a shock. The Chinese ships and their drones look an awful lot like the Americans. Couldn't be because they stole the plans from us, could it be? Oh, that's exactly why it is. Yeah, a friend of mine. They stole over $1 trillion worth of R&D from us between 2000 and 2010. Marines Land System Acquisition Portfolio highlights the importance of naval integration and littoral operations. Hear, hear. Next, Marine Corps Times. Top story is nothing. Top five stories in Early Bird. We'll take a break. We'll get Greg Lotus on. Number one, the Pentagon is eyeing a 500-ship Navy, according to documents. But again, it just depends how you count them. Now we're going to count our little drones, right? So whether they be water drones or, so in this case, they'd be water drones. That's going to get us to 500. Look, if they can shoot, they could be out there. Why not? Who cares? Number two. So wait a minute. How many manned systems are we going to have? Oh, Mac, we're going to go down to 150. We'll go down to 150, man. What? I thought we were aiming for 355. Oh, my God. That was so yesterday. You know, what do we need all those people on there for? Got it. I'm with you. Number two, services to consider removing all identifying information from promotion board packets. Let me tell you, Mac gets out his crystal ball. That will not happen. Okay, that will not happen. Number three, 40 groups call on House panel to investigate the Pentagon's use of coronavirus funds. Why not? Number four, the Army is rolling out a new fitness test. Will it hold back women? Preliminary indications are yes, it will. Number five, will Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego have female drill instructors this winter? That, according to the Commandant of the Marine Corps, that may happen. And it may happen as early as this winter in preparation for female recruit training at Marine Corps Recruit Depot, San Diego. Overseas operations, Ospreys draw eyes over the Ukraine during special operations exercises. Wah, wah. Air Force CV-22 Ospreys and other aircraft teamed up with the Ukrainian military this week in training exercises and turn heads over Kiev. Nice. Yeah, and my next door neighbor is talking about Germany and NATO. NATO's in the Ukraine, bro. Get a map out. Report, Germany's not as significant as it used to be. Report, cough suppressant abuse in Okinawa is still a problem. Let me tell you, drug abuse in general in the military, underreported story. Last operation story, expert panel tells U.S. lawmakers that the U.S. needs to do more to counter Chinese Pacific expansion. Always interesting. Palau's recent offer to permit the United States to build bases and airfields could provide a model for Washington to use to counter China's territorial claims in the Pacific, a senior security expert who is the senior. Eldridge Colby, co-founder of the Marathon Institute. Sounds like a foreign affairs guy, doesn't it? Hi, I'm Eldridge Colby, and I want to tell you about what to do in the Pacific. Eldridge, have you ever been to the Pacific? No, I have not. I've read a lot of books. I wear this ascot. I have this pipe. My father was a State Department guy. All right, got it. Thanks for testifying. All right, we're going to take a break. Do I sound jaded and sarcastic? I don't mean to. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio. Greg Lotus is going to join us next as we continue on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. Happy birthday to Libby. All right, today's her birthday. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.